the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Clear cutting chainsaws killing the trees, softening everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and about folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to take down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I'm asking you to write down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down in that dragon at the road blockade. If you do have news, announcements, comments, anything else for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. And right now we're going to get into our activist alerts. This is the EPIC alert. Hole in the Headwaters faces additional threats while EPIC and the Sierra Club continue their court battle to protect the so-called Hole in the Headwaters. Pacific Lumber has filed five new logging plans in or near this area that span both sides of the South Fork of the Eel River and total nearly 700 acres of mature second growth forest. Two of these new THPs lie within the hole and are lodged between the boundary of the ancient grove known as Elkhead Springs and the THP currently at issue in this litigation, THP 97-520. The other three THPs are located directly across the South Fork on Corrigan Creek, a fish-bearing tributary that provides critical rearing and overwintering habitat for coho salmon. As a whole, the South Fork of the Elk River serves as a critical link in the coho salmon survival and is one of the few remaining streams that supports a genetically viable run of native salmon on a yearly basis. The land inside the hole and across the river from it, some 7,000 acres of forest, were traded to Maxam Pacific Lumber as part of the Headwaters deal. The 7,000 acres of forest was identified in the state law that funded the deal as a priority for acquisition, with whatever funds remained after the purchase of Owl Creek, for which $80 million was allocated. The state just announced it was buying Owl Creek for $67 million, potentially leaving $13 million for the other acquisition. More details will follow. These new logging plans pose a serious threat not only to the proposed acquisition area, but also to the biological integrity of the Headwaters Reserve itself. New logging on the South Fork of the Elk River, except for THP 97-520, is currently constrained by the so-called moratorium that was imposed by the Department of Forestry in January of 1998. This moratorium requires additional information on aggravated flooding and public safety concerns for downstream Elk River residents. However, in nearby Freshwater Creek, the same so-called moratorium has been lifted under a substantially weaker standard than the originally imposed by CDF. Approval of the South Fork of the Elk River THPs could come at any time, so your help is urgently needed. Write to the California Department of Forestry about these logging plans while there is still time. Here's the address: Roger Thompson, Deputy Chief Forest Practices, California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, 135 Ridgeway Avenue, Santa Rosa, California, 95401. Once again, that address: Roger Thompson, Deputy Chief of Forest Practices, California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, 135 Ridgeway Avenue, Santa Rosa, California, 95401. And if you'd like to phone Roger, his number is 707-576-2950. That's 707-576-2950. And be sure to reference the new THP numbers. There are five of them. They all start with 1-00, so here they go. 1-00352, 387, 388, 448, and 452. Here are some points to mention in your letter or comments. Logging these plans should not be approved until after a full watershed analysis has been completed, as CDF originally promised. The conservation value of the South Fork of the Eagle River will be substantially depreciated by these logging activities. The state of California has already expressed an interest in the South Fork Elk River properties, and there's $13 million available for acquisition. And the native wild coho salmon supported by the South Fork of the Elk River are critical to survival of the species in Northern California. If you'd like more information, please contact EPIC, 707-839-1534. That is 707-839-1534. And here's the Mattole activist update. No Maxam logging in the Mattole for 3 weeks. Mattole Forest Defenders blockade is going strong. It's been since November 28th that the Maxam Pacific Lumber sent in Columbia helicopter loggers accompanied by Humboldt County Sheriff to log old-growth Doug fir in the Mattole on Rainbow Ridge. Since then, Mattole Forest Defenders have moved almost 2 miles up Long Ridge to create a Mattole Free State, a blockade complete with several lockdowns and hanging pods across the road. The idea is to stop Maxam's crew before they can get their chainsaws in the forest. Clearly, Maxam is choosing not to challenge the blockade and the near-constant presence of 30, that is 3-0, nonviolent forest defenders in the woods has effectively shut down their operations for the time being, as well as some rain. Mattole and Humboldt residents are holding off on the outer gate blockades for now, but ready to mobilize when Maxam chooses to go back in. Forest defenders will be spending Hanukkah, Christmas, and New Year's at the blockades. So please read on to see how you can continue to help. Thanks to all those who have already contributed, but we have more defined needs list to keep this endeavor going. It's going to be a long winter, so go ahead and make a donation of any of the items below to the Mattole Forest Defenders. I'll give you that address in a minute. Here's what they need. They need immune boosters such as echinacea, zinc tablets. They also need tea bags, ground coffee, organic if possible, hydrogen peroxide, chocolate, vegan if possible, high-protein pocket foods such as Cliff Bars and Power Bars, dried soup mixes, hummus and falafel mix, organic oats and rice, vitamin C or emergency packets, trail mix, tofu, dried fruit, raw nuts, fleece tops and bottoms, Nokia 5100 or 6100 cell phone batteries, bivy sacks, sleeping bags, tarps, static line, pagers, walkie-talkies, 5-watt preferred, UHF or VHF radios, video cameras, still cameras, wool socks, rubberized rain gear, and a gift certificates to Ace Hardware, Costco, or Picky Picky Piggy. Paid work for activists who come out to the woods. Now, this is one I haven't seen on an activist request list, but this is really important. If you can put activists to work so that they can earn money so that they can go back into the woods at some point, that's really important way to support activism. Paid work for activists who come out of the woods. And, of course, monetary donations to Mattole Forest Defenders, P.O. Box 28, Arcata, California, 95518. That address again. Make your check out to Mattole Forest Defenders. Send it to P.O. Box 28, Arcata, California, 95518. If you can come up to Mattole for a few days and help defend the 3,000 acres of incredible old-growth Doug fir forest, they prefer those with nonviolent direct action experience, please call the hotline before you go. Their number, 707-441-3828. That's 707-441-3828. They need folks to help block gates or head into the backwoods. You must be prepared for very cold, rainy, and snowy conditions. The hike into the area is over 12 miles. There is no base camp, so you must call the hotline to get involved. Once again, Mattole Forest Defenders, 707-441-3828. Or you can send them donations to P.O. Box 28, Arcata, California, 95518. And, of course, you can always visit their webpage at mattoledefense.org. Let's move to Los Angeles. Earth First Radio has previously talked about the Bologna wetlands along Bologna Creek in the Los Angeles area. There's a lot of development was slated for that area. I'd like to tell you first about three public hearings that are coming up in January for the three road projects that are the linchpins for the Playa Vista development. That's what's happening in the Bologna wetlands. The first hearing is Tuesday, January 9th at 1 p.m. at the Los Angeles City Engineering Department. It will hold a public hearing on plans to build a new road bridge over Bologna Creek connecting Jefferson and Culver Boulevards. This would chop habitat areas in the state-owned parcel C in Bologna in half. And the hearing is at the Westchester Municipal Building Community Room, 7166 West Manchester Avenue. And let's see, the next hearing is Thursday, January 11th at 9 a.m. The Coastal Commission will be meeting to allow possibly more lanes on Culver Boulevard and a loop road connecting to Lincoln Boulevard. The hearing will be held at the Westin LAX Hotel in Westchester. That's at 5400 Century Boulevard. The permit number is 7A on the agenda. That's Thursday, January 11th at 9 a.m. at the Westin LAX Hotel in Westchester at 5400 Century Boulevard. And lastly and most devastating is the State Highway Department's plan to spend your tax dollars to remove the Lincoln Boulevard Bridge over Bologna Creek, widen it to freeway width, rip out the historic Pacific Electric Railway Bridge on Culver Boulevard, all part of a 10-lane-wide Lincoln Freeway from the airport to Marina Del Rey. The public hearing for this action will be Wednesday, January 24th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Furama Hotel in Westchester. That's at the corner of Manchester and Lincoln Boulevards. Join your neighbors. Get out to these public hearings if you live in L.A. Help support the Bologna Creek wetlands and oppose the Playa Vista development. If you want more information, contact Rex. His number is 310-670-4695. That's 310-670-4695 down in L.A. The next page is good news. Has come from Sacramento. Playa Vista has given up their option to buy Bologna Parcel C, which we were talking about in the previous notification of hearings. This is 73 acres of wetlands and uplands habitat bounded by Bologna Creek on the south, Lincoln Boulevard on the west, and the I-90 freeway on the east, and condos on the north. It's surrounded by development, but it is a little 73 acres of habitat that needs to be preserved. I urge you to come out today in Los Angeles and see our newest urban park that was freed from developers' clutches by our coalition of over 100 groups, including Citizens United, to save all of Bologna. Much applause is due to longtime wetlands fighters at the Sierra Club, BEEP, Grassroots Coalition, Spirit of the Sage Council, our great friends down there in the Inland Empire, the Wetlands Action Network, the Bologna Wetlands Land Trust, the Bologna Valley Preservation League, CalPERG, SaveBologna.com, Surfrider Foundation, LA Greens, Earth First, and numerous hardworking activists. Another cheer is due to the Grassroots Coalition and the Spirit of the Sage Council for discovering the Lincoln Boulevard fault and the explosive methane gas at Bologna, which is costing the developers millions of bucks. The option to buy that property has expired. Unfortunately, that's okay. Here, let's see. I needed to chop this down. Anyway, rare plants found in Bologna Creek area C are Lewis's primrose and southern tar plant. In the meantime, free area C is on its way to becoming a reality. With the option no longer in place, the land is firmly in the hands of the state with no substantial strings attached. The 55 private property no trespassing signs surrounding this land will soon be taken down, and we can all work together to make this land a state park. So things are looking good down in L.A. Let's hope they can keep it together. Moving to other activist news. Group burns four new homes. Statement attacks suburban sprawl. $10,000 reward offered. It's all happening on Long Island. The Long Island Builders Institute has announced a $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the environmental arsonist who set fire to four newly built homes on Mount Sinai over last weekend. Environmentalist extremists who call themselves Earth Liberation Front say they torched the houses early Saturday morning in an attempt to draw attention to their view that overdevelopment is destroying Suffolk County's forests and farmlands, and that's in New York. Environmental extremists claimed responsibility for setting fire to four newly built homes in Mount Sinai early Saturday morning in an attempt to draw attention to their view that overdevelopment is... I thought we already read that one. Arsonists said in a press release that they are part of the Earth Liberation Front, a loosely organized international group that practices eco-tage to protect woodlands and natural resources. Stop urban sprawl or we will, the arsonists threatened in the statement. This hopefully provided a firm message that we will not tolerate the destruction of our island. Two other major acts of vandalism on Long Island last year were linked to the group. In July, ELF claimed responsibility for destroying crops at Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory's agricultural research fields and started a fire in Middle Island last month that destroyed newly built condominiums. The ELF press release said recently hundreds of houses have been built over much of Mount Sinai's picturesque landscape, and developers now plan to build a further 189 luxury houses over the farms and forests adjacent to island estates. The group said it took care not to cause harm to people or animals. Houses were checked for all forms of life, and we even moved a propane tank out of one house all the way across the street, just in case, in worst-case scenario, the firefighters could get hurt, the press release said. A December fire caused $200,000 in damage, destroying a two-story condo under construction at the Birchwood in Springleaf Housing Development on Middle Island. Suffolk police said it was the latest in a series of vandalism incidents over the past period of weeks under investigation by detectives of the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th precincts. In another December incident, ELF and a related group, the Animal Liberation Front, jointly claimed responsibility for graffiti and broken windows at a McDonald's franchise at headquarters in Hoppage, New York. And from Phoenix, we read, eight blazes set in homes near Wilderness, officials say. A luxury home that burned to the ground last week marked the eighth such blaze in the area in 3 years, a trend investigators suspect is the work of an arsonist with environmental motives. Wonder how they figured that out. The fires have occurred at the foot of a desert mountain preserve in north-central Phoenix, where urban sprawl and environmental protection meet face-to-face. They have all struck large homes that were about half completed, causing more than $4 million in damage. Until the recent fires... The most recent fire still is being investigated, but Phoenix Deputy Fire Chief Bob Kahn said it fits the profile of the other seven. One house was burned twice. Investigators have no suspects, and no one has glimpsed the apparent arsonist, though some communication has been left behind. Scrawled across in a sign in April was, "If you build it again, we'll burn it again." After an October fire, a typed letter was left at the scene with references to Bible scriptures and warnings against building in the desert. It could be the sign the arsonist could be involved with an environmental group, said Don Perkins, and a certified fire investigator in San Jose, California, and a member of the International Association of Arson Investigators. Suspected arsonist has also written a promise not to harm individuals or firefighters. How nice of him to promise that. And what is the Free Trade Area of the Americas? That's the big question that's coming up today. The Free Trade Area of the Americas is a free trade and investment agreement being negotiated between governments of the North, Central, and South America and the Caribbean. It's modeled after the North American Free Trade Agreement between North America, Canada, and Mexico. The goal of the FTAA is to create a free trade and investment zone that extends from northern Canada to the southern tip of Chile. As with NAFTA, free trade and investment means reducing government regulations on corporations, opening markets to foreign competition, and expanding trade in all products, including, you guessed it, forest products. In fact, it appears the FTAA will include a global free logging agreement like that proposed and thus far defeated in the World Trade Organization. We can use NAFTA as a model to predict the impact of FTAA on forests. After signing NAFTA, all three NAFTA countries lowered protections for forests and biodiversity. 15 U.S. forest products companies set up new operations in Mexico, taking advantage of lower environmental and labor safeguards. U.S. laws designed to protect forests, the environment, and small locally owned mills can be challenged under the FTAA as trade barriers. If challenged and defeated, these laws will have to be eliminated or the U.S. could face costly trade sanctions. The record of trade agreements versus the environment thus far proves that when faced with a trade-off between free trade and environmental protection, you guessed it, the environment always loses. What can you do? Learn more and get involved in the campaign to protect forests from international trade and investment agreements such as the FTAA. You can contact the American Lands Alliance at 202-547-9095. That's 202-540-9095. Or go to their webpage at www.americanlands.org. You can also join American Lands and other activists from around the world in Quebec, Canada, April 20th through 22nd for protest, education, and organizing events at the Summit of the Americas when the governments meet to finalize the FTAA. And in other announcements from the MASH Clinic, that's the Medicine for Activists Seeking Health and Healing. They're announcing the Wilderness First Responder course geared to activists involved in forest defense and frontline direct action. The course will be held near Garberville, California, starting February 23rd. It's a 10-day course with the option of 2 extra days for activists. The cost is pretty steep, but there might be some scholarships available. You'll need to make a deposit by January 15th. Sign up now. Space is limited. Fill up fast. First come, first serve. You will receive textbooks to study prior to the course once you send in your deposit. Emergency medicine is a crucial skill to have in your collective toolbox. It is becoming imperative that more of us know how to respond to emergency situations where lives are at risk. It is empowering to be able to assess for spinal or head injury, know how to evacuate someone from an area that paramedics cannot reach, know how to assess and treat heat stroke or hypothermia, splint a broken leg, or simply how to irrigate a wound. You will learn the language of the emergency medical system, patient assessment system, and receive CPR PRO certification. The course is rigorous and demanding, but will be completely worth the time and effort. In-class instruction will be up to 90 hours with multiple daily scenario trainings in the field. You have an option of 2 extra free days to learn rope work, street medic training, or herbal first aid. Contact the MASH Clinic for more information. That's MASHH at wildrockies.org, MASH at wildrockies.org, or call them at 503-892-5821. All right, call to action. They're Call to Action Spring 2001 Tour is now hiring. They'll be providing outreach and education on the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, which we just heard about, the Citigroup campaign, and forest defense within the United States. We will also offer organizing direct action workshops to students and community members across the country. Our tour will begin in Portland, Oregon on February 16th and end in Portland, Oregon on May 1st. Trainers are responsible for being in Portland, Oregon by February 12th. And you'll be required to stay with the tour through May 1st. Currently, we're forecasting an $800 per month stipend per trainer, but this is subject to change. All trainers, in addition to having specialty areas in which they train, are expected to have good public speaking skills, experience in community and student organizing, be able to design a quality and enjoyable workshop, work extensively with our spring team, and maintain a professional atmosphere while working with Call to Action. There are 6 openings. Women, people of color, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transvestite individuals are encouraged to apply. Transsexual, I guess. We're looking for folks who are proficient in at least 2 of the following categories. Citigroup, that's a banking and investment group. Race and class issues, the prison industrial complex. Gender issues, nonviolence. Direct action, legal, media, free trade area of the Americas, and Racist Economics 101. Visit their website if you want to apply at www.calltoaction.org. That's calltoaction, all one word, .org, or give Michael a call at 503-804-9378. That's 503-804-9378, or send email to resist@calltoaction.org. All right, here we're going to take a little musical break and be back in just a few minutes with more Earth First Radio.
What are you calling it?
What's that? The roots of woo-woo.
The roots of woo-woo. This is how we got woo.
But it's all scattered, and Gene Crawford corrected me on my historical inaccuracies. But this part I got right, so I'll read it.
Okay.
It goes like this. At a long-ago rendezvous, back in 1983... Bill Duvall was leading new workshops. He called
Deepology.
He taught instinct over logic as our new way of seeing, and praised the intrinsic value of all life and being. There is wisdom in his teachings and truth on his breath. There is only one problem. Duvall could bore us to death. To the wild is more than an academic study. What's there to do with this collegiate fuddy-duddy? We needed religion as real as the rivers and stones to take us out of our intellects and into our bones.
Yeah.
A new spirituality to break free of our tethers. When over the horizon came a man, What a man. And a loincloth and feathers. He wore turquoise beads and an old buckskin vest and a long Viking mustache that hung to his chest. He called himself Lone Wolf Circles, such an elegant name, and said he contained a wolf spirit no one could tame. Well, the movement needed a visionary and needed a drummer way, way back when, on that long ago summer. When the rally got going, Wolf jumped at the chance. On that sacred moment, Wolf was known to get Bill Duvall to dance. So then it blabs on with my historical inaccuracies. And Foreman tells Wolf to proselytize everything, and Wolf does his first road show. With a rhinestone cowboy from California. He called himself Dakota Sid. Wolf preached to hippies and pagans and heathens of every conceivable kind. This wasn't the outreach Dave Foreman had in mind. We could feel our mouths growing fangs and our backs getting hairy. And Wolf was a poet without non-genderic vocabulary. He pounded ceremonial beats and sounded tribal horns. There were candles and pentacles and even unicorns. Dakota Sid was off his Prozac, and it all got too wacky. Enough to make a redneck choking his tobacco. Sid stuttered so hard he couldn't get the words through. I've been here. I've been there. But I ain't never seen none of this. Wah, 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 wah. Woo, woo. Then woo, woo was coined by this guitar strumming gringo and became a sacred word in the New Earth First lingo. Then it goes on to my historical inaccuracy.
You have to tell us. You.
At Earth First Radio, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.